The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Radio's Gil Alexander, everybody. How you doing? What you doing? Kelly Midland is here, producer number nine, so much more than a producer.
I'll be YouTube TV's Kelly Midland.
The people's champion. YouTube TV's Kelly Midland. I will always be.
I like the people's champion, though.
I will always be Radio's Gil Alexander. Still to come this hour, Paul Carr on the Champions League. And Drew Dinsick standing by momentarily. And by the way, Skype is dead. VMix is in for us.
We're having
technical
fun.
Stuff. And yeah. Drew is so good at this stuff. So good at figuring out stuff.
I need people like that.
We should have 100 guests like Drew.
I need people like that. They help me know what's going wrong. And then we can fix it.
You pointed out also that in Drew's case, he can call in whenever he wants. So we put him on the air. So, yeah. We get tweets of beating the book. By the way, I love that Eric Biggio tweet from William Hill Caesars where he's like, let's go Rockies and White Sox. We need them every night from Mark Borchard's place.
I'm enjoying you prying the other bets out of Borchard besides just the base winner parlay.
Would we become the parlay show?
Yeah, then it's, we go, what are we, White Sox and Rockies? Is that what it was to say?
I was like, listen, Mark. I know you got clients. They might not have known about you unless you were here. Come on. Let's give us a straight bet.
White Sox and Rockies. Let's roll.
That wasn't the parlay. That was just straight run line bets.
Yes, that's run line.
Nikki Betts, 303. History repeating itself for NBA MVP. Last time they gave it to Embiid, Nuggets won the title. SGA much more deserving than Embiid, but still Jokic clearly the MVP, willing his team to victory last night. Jay, touchdown Jesus. Padres, six figures stuck at William Hill Caesars. By the way, I think they're stuck for six at Circa as well, unless there was a torrent against me. He said, Padres, six figures. Didn't I do that? Yeah, we did. Brian Morianen, on the Stolarz-Bennett incident, it didn't even seem like that bad of contact. I agree with you. I saw a post earlier from a doctor on Twitter that the shot to the side of the head in the first period that took his helmet off was likely what caused the injury. It's probably true. It was probably cumulative. And he stayed on, like I said, he stayed on the ice, but then he vomited. Like, then it all, like, came together, so he had to leave. And so, yeah, it was very weird. Strange incident in that Leafs game. Larry Matthews Jr., any golfers in current poor form you might be looking to fade this weekend in Philly? I think that might be directed towards you.
Coming up tomorrow, because I have not done much with golf yet.
There it is. If you missed, if you missed earlier in the show, I just kind of lost my mind about Mark Daigneault. We'll see if Drew has something to say about that. But by the way, Shrek McPhee also, when's the big Roland Garros pod guests? Well, we always love it if this gentleman has the time to do it. We're still one tournament shy of Roland Garros. It's Drew Dinsick, everybody. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. He is the co-host of the Deep Dive podcast with Andy Molitor, Bet the Edge from NBC Sports with Jay Croucher, and coming off a weekend where he was just decked out at the Derby, he joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Drew?
You know, it was such a phenomenal Friday, Saturday at Churchill Downs that inevitably there's a come down. You know, and then to make matters worse, I'm obviously at the front of the bandwagon here as Captain Thunder. To see them lose game one, particularly in that fashion, was tough. So Monday, it was a tough bounce back Monday, if I'm being honest. But then you wake up on Tuesday and Scam Norrie loses as a -147 favorite, and all is right in the world again. So, you know, you win some, you lose some.
There you go.
But ultimately, like, no, it was coming off the best weekend of sports that I can remember in like the last, I don't even know how long.
Well, let me answer your rhetorical question. Let me actually answer, which is, you know, the come down. You're like, you know, come down from the Derby. No, I don't know, Drew, because I've never been to the Derby, so I don't know what that come down's like. To be honest with you, no one lives your life.
Yeah. The Derby itself, just for the FYI, the why it was so special this year. Number one, they put together just an unreal undercard leading into the Oaks on Friday. Like, all of the biggest stars in racing were there. They brought them in. So you got to see that. I ended up hitting the pick six on Friday into the Oaks. Whew. That's basically to say, like, you know, every 40 minutes there's another race, and it's just like winner, 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 and like the energy and the excitement is so intense when you're just getting those wins, and some of the races themselves were extremely close and fun. So that was just like you know, I left Friday thinking like, well, they'll never get better than that. Like that, you know, hitting a pick six into the Oaks, like, you know, that's as good as it gets. And then on Derby Day, I had kind of a repeat experience with the pick six into the Derby and ended up getting four in a row and then lost five by a nose and then had sovereignty in the sixth. So it would have been, that would have been kind of like, holy smokes, two for two, 20 cent. Pick six Derby, you know, Derby City pick six. And anyway, it's just, so when you're in that kind of environment with 100,000, 150,000 people and everybody's screaming, it's just unbelievable.
So between Samich getting the superfecta, Felica with the 7-1, and Drew having the great day, a horse racing trifecta we had.
It's incredible.
Okay, let's get the
I lost money
because I went with American Paradise or whatever
American Promise, we should say
promise.
That that would have been the that would have been like kind of the coolest thing that had ever happened, just because that was the, like, I was on him in the futures pool at 30-1, and so that was that, and futures pool for like max stakes multi-clicks, like that would have been you know, life altering for me in the year 2025 as far as outcome scale. You know, I woke up on Saturday, it's raining. It is raining hard. You look at the forecast, it's going to rain all day. And you're like, okay, so we're going to have an off track. That's going to absolutely open the door for a lot of horses to push this pace. We're going to get a fast pace, American Promise. And so I'm doing the math in my head. I'm like, all right, he's cooked. Like, this just isn't happening today. Not my day. So ultimately was able to find a way to get right otherwise, but did not hit the lotto.
Drew, what's the atmosphere like there when it is raining for one of the derbies? Is it is it much different or not really?
Doesn't change at all. There's a little bit. There are more plastic bags on people and on hats, but that's the only difference. You looked around the infield and it had been raining all day long and it was still shoulder to shoulder. They had, you know, there was a lot of speculation that there was going to be a come down in terms of attendance, in terms of handle this year, because last year was 150, you know, and it was like, this was 151. Like, did people like kind of save up their bullets and fire last year? And then this year it's going to be a little bit of a letdown. And no, the handle went up by a lot. And it's like, oh, so this is just, it's just growing and rolling downhill now. And 150,000 people there in the pouring rain all day. It was absolutely wild.
Does NBC also have the Preakness? Do you go to Pimlico?
I'm not going to Pimlico. They do have the Preakness. Fox stole the freaking Belmont from us, but
Felica's listening, going, you're damn right we did. because I was going to say the contrast between the Derby to the infield grounds at Pimlico is a whole different story. It's not very Dinsick-ish, if you know what I mean.
The first horse race I ever went to was the Preakness at Pimlico, and it was very Dinsick-ish when I was an 18-year-old.
Wait, I was going to say, are you implying he's too bougie for that now?
I'm implying that Drew has evolved as a human.
He's not funneling beers anymore?
He has evolved. Speaking of your evolution, do you have any, to tennis, let's get the tennis out of the way before we go to basketball.
Sure.
Do you have anything left in Roma today?
Nothing qualifying, but let's kind of talk a little bit about where we are in the calendar since it's a good reset point. Madrid is in the books. That is kind of your first measuring stick for how these players are coming along on clay. Rome starts in earnest tomorrow. And we find ourselves in a very, very wide open, you know, both men's and women's, you know, landscape right now. You know, this time last year, we're like, you know, click it and forget it with Iga and every clay tournament she's in, like, don't overthink it. That has completely faded into obscurity as far as a strategy for betting money, I'll tell you that much. Her current sort of mental, you know, just the damage she's taken from everything that's going on in her life on top of just, you know, having, you know, a struggling suite of results, to me makes her a bet against that price in Rome. The women's draw, as I look at it, is massively lopsided. All of like the interesting high powered, you know, power hitters are all on the top half of the draw outside of Madison Keys, who's in Iga's quarter. Sabalenka, Rybakina, Zhang, all in Q1. That sets up for a quarter one quarterfinal that's going to be just flat out awesome. Goff, Anna Samova, and Andreeva all in Q2 is going to set up for just an awesome first, their top half semifinal. Don't have an opinion of between all of those women as who ultimately comes through, but the fact that they're all on the top makes me want to shop for price in the bottom, and particularly in Q3. The name that stands out above the rest in Q3 is Mukova. I know she hasn't really put together much to be excited about on clay or really at all in 2025 so far, but she got a super nice soft section where she she draws potentially Ostapenko in round three, Paolini in round four, and Pegula in the Q3 quarterfinal. I think that's very winnable path for her. And then
former French Open finalist, this should be mentioned. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Absolutely. And she's like in the 18-1 range to win this title. And Mukova is the pick to click for me in Rome this week among the women. And then the men's, we welcome Jannik Sinner back to tour. He looks different. He looks like he's grown up a little bit, I have to say.
Physically, you mean? Physically?
Physically, yes.
Oh, like, I haven't seen.
Like, he looked like he doesn't look the same to me. A lot of the kind of the boyish nature of his face and just his stature is kind of refined. I think he's probably in an even better state than he was at the beginning of the season, where he was questioning whether he even wanted to play in the Australian Open with the doping case hanging over his head. Now that it's behind him, I think he's probably going to run amok through this next portion of the calendar, and it would be an easy click for me in on the men's side in Rome.
You had Draper in Madrid, right, to win it, didn't you?
I did.
Sorry.
Casper Ruud. Thievery in the first set of that match. Draper, I know it's tough when you're young and you don't have as many pelts on the wall, but you gotta close that first set and win that match, buddy.
NBA with Drew on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Smarter bets start here and last all year long with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, we're slashing the price of our annual subscription, normally $240, now just $199. And when you sign up today, we'll throw in two extra months for free. Let me repeat that. When you sign up today, we're going to throw in two extra months for free.
That's slashed. That was the price being slashed.
That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code PRO. You should just keep saying it after every line.
Slash!
Get 14 months of access to our daily best from VSiN hosted guests, exclusive splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 live video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all of our special edition betting guides.
Slashed!
Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. Use promo code PRO to lock in 14 months of VSiN Pro for just $199. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
Slashed!
I think you guys get the idea.
It's so nice of you to. I heard Gil was taking all this money out of his paycheck to pay for everybody's 2 months free. It's very nice of you. Slash!
You know what I am doing? I said if I win this VSiN Killer Sports NBA Challenge that I'm giving all the money to the guys and girls behind the glass.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. If I missed that announcement. Okay.
Fezzik is in first place now. Steve Fezzik luck boxed his way into a 2-1 because the Knicks-Celtics went to overtime yesterday. So he is 15-8.
I think I've lost four straight. I'm out of the top three, right?
You are out of the top three. Fezzik is first place, 15-8. Kazarian is at 14-7 in second place. Zach Cohen is your new third placer.
All right.
Bronze medalist currently, 13-9. A lot of basketball yet to be played.
He's a decent guy. He can take my spot.
He's a good guy. But yeah, those are the top three right now. You, sir, are in a tie for fourth at 12-9 with Alex Christensen.
Got work to do.
And JVT's got 12 wins, too. He's 12-11. So still a lot of work to do. And Fezzik's a little too cocky. I'm going to be honest with you. Little too cocky, this kid, Steve Fezzik.
You know the one I realized? I'm sure this complaint was going to come up at some point.
No.
But, you know, we have to, like, we were talking about this with Carl off the air yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We have content to do. So we have to talk about our picks. Steve doesn't necessarily have to do that.
No, that's right.
So, we could telegraph everything we're going to do.
Yeah. I don't know if that's what's at play, but still. He's got some regression coming to him. By the way, the only thing, we'll get back to Drew here in a second, the only thing that made up for Barkley's horrible take on the end game in that Thunder Nuggets game yesterday was that at the end of Inside the NBA, they did a spelling bee.
Gosh.
Inspired by apparently Shaq and Craig Sager back in the day, where Shaq would try to, he'd like tell Sager to spell words that he didn't understand, but spell it, smart guy, or something like that. And they gave Shaq, Kenny, and Charles Barkley, Ernie did, first word, podiatrist. Podiatrist. And so they had to spell that. Then it was plethora and peripheral. So they had to spell podiatrist, plethora, and peripheral. Can you spell those words?
Probably. Let's do it on another segment.
Okay, but I'm just giving you the words now so you can write them down. Don't look. And so
Good point.
Okay, Shaq went 0 for 3, and he tried cheating off Ernie's paper, but Ernie purposely spelled them wrong on the paper because he knew Shaq would cheat.
Oh, that's so good, yeah.
Charles went 1 and 2, and Kenny won it and went 2 and 1.
What about podiatrist, peripheral, and what was the
podiatrist,
third?
Podiatrist, plethora, and peripheral.
Oh, plethora. Drew, I think I'm 3 for 3.
Drew Dinsett, kind enough to join us once again.
I didn't go to Duke or anything. But
yeah, well, who amongst us did? Oh, Drew did. Hey, Drew.
Terrible, well, terrible speller, though.
Oh,
terrible
really? Speller. I think spelling, yeah, oh, I think you're terrible. Kind of born with it. I really do. I think it's kind of like a thing in your brain.
I think I got all three of those.
I'm sure you did. You want to spell them now, or you want to let Drew talk about basketball first?
let's let Drew talk. Okay, yeah. Let's Drew
play. All right, Drew. By the way, we got one tweet, Drew, where somebody said about your win at the Derby. He says, had to be the lucky turkey feather for Drew, according to Scola on Twitter. Okay, Thunder.
That's credible that he picked out that there was a turkey feather there, and I'll speak directly to him. I found that turkey feather myself in Napa and added it to the hat for the flair.
While he was sipping wine in Napa.
You pointed it out on Friday.
Oh, I did.
Yeah,
oh,
you did.
All right. Thunder, Celtics, Cavs. They all come in as big favorites. They all not only don't cover, they all lose outright. Which is the most concerning of all those favorites? And I think the answer is Cleveland because of the personnel issues. But what do you think is the most concerning of all three of those? Who's got the most to worry about?
Yeah, I think it's Cleveland because of the personnel issues.
That's the shortest Drew answer we've ever gotten, by the way. My turn now. He's like,
I do still think that these are your three most talented teams at full strength. This is still clearly the championships, you know, starts with understanding the probability of those three teams specifically. I think the fact that they all each lost a home game to start their series, while it is concerning, it is not really a reflection that any of the three are now unlikely to win their series. Market says the same. My numbers agree. I have between the three of them, I have Oklahoma City is still the most likely of the three to come through with a fair price of -244. I have Cleveland as the second most likely to come through with a fair price of -277. And I have Boston third at -200, which I maybe surprises some people. That's just raw numbers as I kind of am crunching here. But at this point, with kind of questions swirling about availability for both Cavaliers and Celtics, I think you have to be a little bit more qualitative. And I think you have to talk a little bit about path and about opponent as far as like whose opponent can hang / improve as we kind of go through this series. And as far as opponents go, the Pacers look the scariest to me. The Knicks to me are the kind of a team that has defensive woes. I mean, just the fact that they gave up as many threes to the Celtics as they did is a huge problem. That's eventually going to bite them in that series. And then the Nuggets, the fatigue that's set in with that team that will ultimately, I think, affect them in games 3 and 4 at home. We could still very well see the Thunder come home for game 5 up 3-1 is in my opinion. So I don't have a fair price on any of these teams versus the market that I bet into that says make a bet on any of them now. But I would say that with the absence of Garland and how important he was and really not having any read whatsoever on how serious his toe injury is, combined with now Hunter and Mobley being question marks with injuries they picked up in game 1, like that's 3/5 of your closing lineup. That's a huge question mark, huge problem. And the Cavaliers defense slipped throughout the balance of the final third of the season to the point where the defense was their only key question mark coming into this playoffs. And you thought the offense was going to be able to offset that. And while Mitchell got everything he wanted anywhere he wanted it in that game against the Pacers, and they have no defensive answer for him. The Cavaliers defense is not what it was, you know, expected to be in terms of, you know, kind of preventing the Pacers from getting away in these games. So, yeah, Cavaliers are probably at, for me at least, they're at DEFCON 4. A loss in game 2 would put them up to DEFCON 2. You know, certainly the issues are all really about the fact that we may not know how serious their injuries are until we see them play tonight. And then,
How many people like, just listen to that and went, oh, DEFCON 1's the worst? How many people listen to that?
I'm sitting here actually thinking about it as you said it.
I'm sorry.
Which one's the worst again? Yeah. One's the worst. One's the worst. You know what DEFCON 1 is, if you want a reference point? It's when you're watching the Los Angeles Clippers against the Nuggets in Game 7, and you have a Clippers ticket in your account.
Drew's that bitter.
You get to halftime, and you're like, oh, I think I should be concerned. I should be concerned.
Drew's like, I think
that's
we're at
DEFCON 1.
I think we're at 1.
I think we're at 1. Yeah. Like, this is DEFCON 1.
Before you go, Drew.
DEFCON 4, yeah.
Not to slow your roll here, but let's get to the game 2. So the Cavs are favorite game 2 tonight by 9 or 9.5 still. The total on this game is at 229.5, same total as in game 1. And then Golden State, Minnesota, game 1 tonight. The T-Wolves are up to am I seeing this right? A 7-point favorite now?
Mm-hmm.
With the T-Wolves, we're showing 6.5, but there's some 7s out there. On the series price, T-Wolves are a -175, -180-ish favorite. Golden State +150-ish coming back. Do you have any plays on the individual games tonight or on the Warriors-T-Wolves series price?
Series price is a pass at price. I was hoping we were going to get something more bettable for Minnesota. -180 is not bettable by my numbers. I did take them game 1. At 6.5, I think ultimately this reasonably is there's a premium here. I'm not saying that this is going to open game 2 at 6.5 or 7. It's probably realistic neutral fare is probably more like 4.5, 5, but there's a 2-point premium because of the rest imbalance. And while that guy probably cooked a lot of people last night, including me on Oklahoma City, this is more real, in my opinion, just because of the degree of physicality that Houston had against the Warriors and really making Steph Curry's life difficult. And, you know, Curry is a one-of-one offensive, just generational talent, but he's not a very big guy, and he is carrying an enormous amount of the load. And we've seen this in playoffs past with this Warriors team where, you know, you're not giving him much help whatsoever outside of Jimmy Butler, you know, getting to the free throw line. And that to me is concerning, that he is going to be worn down from that Rockets series, and that ultimately the Warriors are drawing dead tonight. Now, I may dabble with Warriors series price if it's a blowout, considering it's already at 155.
Okay. Drew Densick. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it very much, man.
All right. Best of luck, guys.
Horses, tennis, basketball with Densick. Coming back with Paul Carr of the Champions League and Kelly Spells Words next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards. 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game.
Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Media the Book.
Slashed.
JC at JC562076 says, go Dubs, that is all. I'm with you, JC. Go Dubs. Most beautiful thing in basketball.
It was well said by Drew. We brought it up yesterday. The price just a little off for me. If anything, I'd be on the Warriors, too.
Warriors trying to make it a full set of 4 of underdogs that went outright in game 1s of the conference semi.
God, and they're the one that we would have said had the best chance, too.
Jamie Leva, slashing weight and prices. Kelly Bidlin. He says, excellent to Ernest Johnson impersonation, Gil. Looking good, gentlemen. Have a fantastic day. Thank you, Jamie.
To Ernest Johnson. I was low. That was the best part of Primetime Action, man.
Oh, guessing lines, or Primetime Action? Yeah. Just random Ernest Johnson.
But remember when we discovered him? And it was like, who's this guy? Who's this running back? And then boom.
I was throwing from our Atlanta studios. Chance Copperpot. I can't spell podiatrist, but I know when the Nuggets are down in the fourth quarter and I take a live flyer at 13-1 with $50. I'm winning $650. #can't spell, he says.
Nice.
Well, actually, you spelled podiatrist right. Ladies and gentlemen, the last night on Inside the NBA, Paul Carr standing by for Champions League picks. So,
I'm also nervous now because he's a regional spelling bee champion, apparently.
Paul Carr is?
Yeah, regional. I might have just made that
up. Let's bring Paul in. Paul Carr, ladies and gentlemen, from Topeka, Kansas. True Media Networks is where he does his thing on a daily basis, the Expected Value Podcast, and, of course, the Ringer Soccer Betting Show. Joins us now at Paul Carr, by the way, on Twitter, C-A-R-R, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Paul, were you a regional spelling bee champion? Is that true?
Fourth place regional.
Fourth,
as far as I got.
Fourth place regional, Gally, come on.
Fourth place. Get a trophy for
popped
that?
Out right there. I did not. Didn't even get a ribbon. Had to get third for a ribbon.
You should have just said second place. We would not have known the difference. last night on Inside the NBA, after Barkley was just embarrassing about the diagonal end of game coaching,
all Chet had to do was make the two free throws, we'd have been fine.
They did a spelling bee, and they gave three words, podiatrist, plethora, and peripheral. And Shaq went 0 for 3, even though he tried to cheat off of Ernie's page, but Ernie knew it was happening, so he wrote them incorrectly.
I believe Shaq does that often.
Yeah, they even caught him, like, looking over. Charles went 1 for 2, and Kenny won it going 2 for 3. He went 2-1. So, Kelly, now, you get it, and yeah, the first word was podiatrist. Kelly spelt it P-E-D-I-A-T-R-I-S-T.
P-O?
P-O-D.
Man.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Florida State University.
FSU.
How'd I do in the other two? Plethora I got right.
You were correct on the others. Plethora, P-L-E-T-H-O-R-A, and peripheral, which was the hardest one, P-E-R-I-P-H-E-R-A-L. Way to go. 2 for 3.
There you go.
You and Kenny Smith would have a word off.
I mean, I'm an English major who worked at a newspaper. It's a little concerning. I can't spell podiatrist.
It's more than a little concerning. It's a lot concerning. Paul, how you doing, man? Before we get to your Champions League plays for today and explain the second leg and all that, let's go back to some stuff you had. You had a goal score at +250, and it took 4 minutes to cash, right, the other day?
It's very nice. Ousmane Dembele for PSG, fourth-minute goal through traffic. You can rest easy the rest of the game. That's about as easy as it gets.
And Barcelona-Inter Milan, 3-3? Was that the final score in that game? That was a classic,
It was. It was a wild one. I had Barcelona minus a goal and a half, and they were down 2-0. And I honestly didn't feel terrible about it, given that, they tied it up. Inter took the lead. Barcelona tied it up again with about 25 minutes left, I think.
Ugh.
So it was still very much in play.
Yeah.
But they had a couple chances. They didn't finish. And yeah, I don't think either team's really happy with a 3-3 result going back to Milan.
That's interesting. Well, that's a portent of things to come here as Paul gives his pick. So explain now. This is the second leg of the semifinals. And for the uninitiated, explain, if you would, why this becomes a little bit multi-layered.
Yep. Two legs, aggregate scored, which is a fancy way of saying total score across the two legs is what gets you through. So the thing to be aware of from a betting standpoint, as I always say, everyone's made this mistake. I've made this mistake. What 99% of your bets here are for regulation, so for the 90 minutes and the injury time at the end. So if you bet, say, Barcelona to win the game, if it's tied after 90 minutes and they win an extra time, your bet probably won't cash. There are separate markets for to advance or to qualify, which are different things. That's just which team goes to the next round, regardless of its regulation, extra time, penalty kicks. So as always, just be wary of what you're betting and know what you're betting, really, from a rooting interest standpoint.
Also, thank you for using wary correctly, Kelly. Wary, cautious of, as opposed to weary, where people say, be weary of, yes. Be tired of.
Sure, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. English major, Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
W-A-R-Y.
That's right. He was not sure.
He was not sure.
Let's keep that in mind. Let's go to your picks. So the first pick here from you then, this is going to be which? Let's go to Barcelona Inter Milan now. So what are the implications here as we head into this game?
Yeah, so I am taking a 90-minute bet of Barcelona to win this game. I play this at 125. It has shifted the other way. It's +150 now a lot of places because there's some injury news that has come out. Lautaro Martinez, Inter's striker, looks like he's going to play. That was a little more doubtful yesterday. And Barcelona's fullbacks may both be out of this game. Personally, I don't think that, I mean, it matters, obviously, but I don't think it's a big deal from a handicapping standpoint because the Barcelona defense was pretty suspect anyway, and Inter's attack was decent against that. So it's something, don't get me wrong, but really this is about Barcelona's attack, which is the best in the world. I don't think the Inter defense can hold up for 90 minutes. It wasn't really able to last game. Gave up 3 goals, obviously. They did okay. You know, Barcelona didn't have tons of great opportunities, but they had a lot of them. They had 19 shots. And even though a lot of them weren't great, when you give good players like Barcelona has an attack, 19 shots, you know, they're likely to break through one way or the other. Barcelona may have Robert Lewandowski back for this game, so I don't think he will start, but he's a guy they could throw on the last 20 minutes when they're trying to get a win in regulation. So I like Barcelona to win this one in regulation. Again, I played it at plus 125, but you should be able to get plus 150-ish right now.
So this was the 3-3 match in the first leg. Now Paul is on Barcelona plus 125, and it's not that the market has scoffed at you, it's that there's injuries. That's why it's moved.
I think so, yeah, because I had that play last night, and the injury news came out this morning in Europe. So I think that's it, because Martinez likely wasn't going to play. The fullbacks were, I don't think their injury situation was quite, I think it was more severe than expected. So yeah, I think that's what made the numbers change this morning.
I'm tailing you again on this one, Paul. This is like an anger bet against Inter Milan. Gil, if you'd watched that game last week.
Spite
like,
bet.
It's the most it's like when we talk about the 3-point differentials, right? Like when you get like 3 ridiculous, incredible goals that like you could never recreate. I'll be right back on Barcelona.
It's another good point. Like everything went right for Inter in that game, and all they got was a draw. You know, they got a early goal on a counterattack with a great finish, you know, tough to replicate. They scored twice on set pieces. And while those are also Barcelona's defensive weaknesses, set pieces and transition, they're just tough things that you're going to be able to count on. So, you know, Barcelona puts up a couple here, 2, maybe 3. I'm not sure Inter can get 2, maybe 3 goals themselves.
Spite bets always work out, Kelly. You should
always
be fine.
100%.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
Yeah, you should be good. Yeah. PSG Arsenal. First leg, if I'm not mistaken, PSG won 1-0, yes, in London?
Correct.
All right.
Correct,
yes. So how are we doing this one?
So I'm going under in this one. Under 2.5 plus 125. This was, you know, it was kind of a tight, cagey, your stereotypical first leg. I'm not sure the second leg will be much different because Arsenal needs to score, obviously. They're down a goal. Arsenal hasn't been very good at scoring all season. And they have Bukayo Saka back and Odegaard's back in the midfields, a little bit better. But PSG defended them fairly well, didn't give up a ton of opportunities. I mean, Arsenal had one shot in the first half hour or so before they kind of got alive. But PSG really just clogged the middle well, and Arsenal wasn't able to generate a lot. And I'm not sure this game will be a lot different. They might scratch out a goal. You know, it could have been 1-0 Arsenal in that first leg without too much trouble. But either way, you know, 1-0 either way obviously gets us home a couple of goals. So this is another one where it could go to extra time. If Arsenal wins 1-0 and goes to extra time, you're winning your bet regardless if teams hang 2-3 goals in extra time. So under 2.5 plus 125. If you want to get really crazy, you could go under 1.5 like plus 350, but under 2.5, 125 my play.
And these are both today, Paul?
The Arsenal PSG game is tomorrow.
Arsenal PSG tomorrow, right? So Barcelona, yeah, Inter Milan today. I'm sorry, say again.
One game at a time for the semis. So let us watch them both.
One game tonight, today. Barcelona, Inter Milan, PSG, Arsenal tomorrow. Are you following the NHL or the NBA playoffs at all, Paul? Do you follow that at all?
Very casually. I don't think I'd watched an NBA game all season until the playoffs. But yeah, now it's gonna throw it on to see what happened. And so last night I stopped watching the Celtics game, and they were up like, what, 20 in the third quarter?
Yeah.
And I came back with like a minute left and was very confused about what was going on. I thought the score bug was messed up, that kind of thing.
The Celtics were very confused about what was going on as well.
Yeah.
They just kept heaving balls from behind the arc.
And there has been score bug issues. So, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair question.
Maybe shoot the ball closer to the basket. I don't know.
It's very, very intricate advice. I'm just saying, like, anybody who doesn't like sports, like, imagine not liking sports. The drama of the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs it's just been incredible. I don't know. I don't trust a guy who doesn't like sports or music. Like, what have you been doing with your life?
I don't watch a lot of regular season of either, but I show up for the playoffs because that's when it gets fun.
That is acceptable.
Barcelona plus 146. I'm in.
He's in.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Spike bet. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. We'll come back. We'll recap everything next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get the G-Bank Visa signature card today because G-Bank is the official bank of VSiN with all of our best bets recapped. Kelly, shall we do it?
Let's do it. Look at you firing today, man.
This is probably my most firing of a non-tennis nature on any given day.
I was going to say outside of football season, but yeah, good point.
Yeah, maybe that. Padres again tonight. Money line for the full game and the first five money line against the Yankees. Minus 105 on the full game, minus 119. Michael King on the hill for the Fathers as the Padres look to go 5-0 in the month of May. If they win this, they are already ahead of my projection, and I got them winning the month.
Nice,
so,
there you go.
So Padres first five in full game. Mariners Athletics, I did this yesterday too, over first five and full game. Once again, the pitching matchup in that one, Emerson Hancock. Who could forget Emerson Hancock? What's your favorite Emerson Hancock outing?
Oh, Kelly? Man, yeah. A couple weeks ago.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Versus Jeffrey Springs. They're both fly ball pitchers, and I don't know if you know this. Sacktown, that ballpark with the fake Machu Picchu out there in the outfield and the fake bridge-looking thing. That is Sutter Health ballpark. It is just an absolute fly ball pitcher's nightmare. And so we're going over again, 5.5. First five, over 9.5 for the full game. And then in basketball, in the National Basketball Association, I'm taking the Pacers plus the points tonight against the Cavs, who again is Darius Garland playing. Nobody knows. Is Evan Mobley playing? Nobody knows. Is DeAndre Hunter playing? Nobody knows. They're all questionable.
Did get a note come down about 10 minutes ago. Mobley, Garland, Hunter, all not seen at shoot-around.
Oh, boy. Pacers plus 9.
And that number has adjusted. We're down to 8.
Already one point less than when we began this show. And I'm on the Pacers plus 191 on the series price, the adjusted series price, up 1-0 in that series. I also did take the Nuggets up 1-0 in that series against the Thunder at plus 267. Did not take the Knicks because I just think Tibbs is just there. The two guys log too many minutes, man.
Yeah.
Too many minutes.
And they'll the Celtics had to screw up last night. The Knicks will blow a game too. Like we know that. A game as well. I'm not gonna say necessarily game two, but a game as well. I'm backing on the Celtics. Look, it is the numbers game that they like to play, put up a bunch of threes. You're going to have some nights like you did last night where, I guess you set NBA records missing as many as you did.
45 missed threes.
It's incredible, man.
15 of 60.
It's incredible. You hope when you see a performance like that, though, they learn at least a little bit, Gil. I don't know that they will, but anyways, 9.5, wanted to get in on that. I know it would run out here a little bit. We're at 10.5 now.
Paul Carr's best, by the way, that you just heard. Barcelona, if you pronounce it in the Castellano. Barcelona win plus 125 at Inter Milan. You can get it at plus 150, he said, because some injuries have altered this line. And then the PSG-Arsenal game tomorrow in the Champions League semifinals, second leg, under 2.5 goals. PSG and Arsenal at plus 125, under 2.5 goals. GBank, the official bank of VSIN.
Oh, we got a couple more.
Oh, we do. Oh, I'm sorry. Mark Borchardt, we did them out of order.
Yeah.
That's why. Oh, my bad. Mark Borchardt, I'm a robot. I just do it chronologically. Mark Borchardt, best bets. Phillies Braves money line parlay, plus 171 is parlay of the day. And then, you are not required to watch these, but Mark Borchardt has gone run line, plus 1.5 runs on both the White Sox and the Rockies today. Oh, boy. That is living. And then finally from...
We got Dinsick and Jay Kahn.
Dinsick and Jay Kahn. Drew Dinsick, he's on Carolina Muhova, 18-1 to win the WTA side of things in Rome, the final tournament before the French Open at Roland Garros. You know they officially call it Roland Garros now. It's not the French Open. We call it the French Open.
Really?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Actually, you know what? I think I saw something like that the other day and I was confused.
I think Charles might have mentioned it on Inside the NBA. And Timberwolves... Drew is laying the points. Drew is unabated in terms of his love for all the favorites, plus on the series price as well. He's on the T-Wolves tonight, minus the 6.5 against the dub show of Steph Curry, Draymond, and company. Jake Hahn, best bets. Caps tonight, game one, Caps plus 120. Let's go. Rock the red, baby, in D.C. Oilers, Golden Knights, over 6.5 here at T-Mobile. Wow. I mean, we were talking with Wes yesterday about how you can't bet these overs in game sevens, but man, 6.5 on this game, and everybody expects it to go over tonight here between the Oilers and the
Knights. We talked to Jake about this during the regular season. Man, I would still feel this way when I see some of these final scores of just like, if I was betting it over, I'd be sprinkling some alts too. Like how often do we see 9 goal games, 10 goal games, 11 goal games? It's wild.
The Stanley Cup playoffs has been unbelievable. That was the, I mean, that was the first great night of the NBA. Not the first great night, but the really best night so far. But hockey's just left and right. These games have been incredible. Get the G-Bank Visa Signature Card today. All of our best bets brought to you by G-Bank, the official bank of Visa. And most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances. That's even when you put your own money on the card. G-Bank treats gaming transactions as purchases, so you're saving up to 3% to 5% on cash advance fees on gaming transactions right there. Also, with G-Bank, you're earning 1% cashback rewards on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all eligible purchases. Apply now at vsin.com/gbank. That's vsin.com/gbank. Stormy and JVT coming up at the top of the hour with Money Moves. I'm sure JVT will have a lot to say about the NBA playoffs. Stormy doing double duty. She's doing the Knights game tonight as well.
Oh, she back on that?
Oh, yeah. Stormy is big time, man.
I screwed up the other day when I saw her on doing the Knights game. I was like, oh, that's cool. She's right down the road doing it. I didn't realize it was in Minnesota.
In Minnesota. She had to do it. So I'm curious what JVT's going to have to say about these games. But we started the show, in case you missed it. I cannot believe what we witnessed at the end of that Thunder game last night. You mentioned something interesting off air, which is, you know, all these, the national shows like ESPN, leading with the Knicks and the Celtics is like the bigger story. I'm like, well, it's such an East Coast bias. It's like, yeah, that was amazing too. Don't get me wrong. The Knicks winning game one against the Celtics, erasing the 20-point deficit was amazing. But the malpractice at the end of the Thunder game, where again, the problem was not that they fouled up three, which so many articles and so many people are saying this morning, that's not the problem. The problem is how they did it. And once again, Jokic immediately fouled with a Thunder up three. Jokic immediately, so they go up three on two SGA free throws with 14 seconds left. Jokic fouled with 12.9 left. He hits two free throws. SGA then breaks free to the hoop. They're back up three. Then Gordon fouled with 10.7 left. That's not how you do it. Once again, he hits both free throws. Then Holmgren inevitably misses not just one, but two. Gordon three, good. Ball game. Desperation, no good. Nuggets steal it. After being down by, 113-102 with 4:31 left.
Jeez.
Then a 12-2 run, cut it to 115-114, and that's when we had those late game shenanigans. But again, it's not that they fouled up three, it's how they did it. They did not let enough time elapse, and as a result, what you're doing is creating too many more opportunities for yourself to miss a free throw. Because as the longer the game goes, but you have to extend it 3 or 4 seconds on each of those. And then even if you do miss, Denver's got a desperation heave to try to do something about it. But the fact that they just, no time elapsed, I mean, a couple seconds elapsed. So it allowed for, hey, the more free throws you shoot, eventually you're going to miss one. Holmgren happened to miss two. And it allowed Denver to matriculate the ball down the court and get that three from Gordon Wynn. Just an unbelievable occurrence.
Yeah. I'm stunned. I'm still stunned. I know it's been this long after the game.
You can't go to sleep afterwards, as you were saying.
No, you can't. This is my problem. Every time the NBA playoffs roll around, you get great finishes like that. You're so full of adrenaline after the game, and then before you know it, you're like, oh, great, I got to be up in like 4 hours. Let me try to get some sleep here.
This is not a pleasant subject. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but like, who, you mentioned Aaron Gordon earlier. Is it the Nuggets that are your big... They're the ones that are killing you the most here between the Clippers and the...
So far, yeah. Right. I mean, and that's, you know, it's no... You know me, it's not like I'm a Nuggets hater.
No.
Right? I think it's just been a bit high on Clippers and Thunder. And it's it's a sweat all of a sudden. I mean, I got a lot of Thunder to win the West. A lot of Thunder to win the West.
Same question I posed to Drew, I posed to you. I think the answer is probably Indiana because of all the uncertainties with Cleveland's injuries. So it's an easy answer to... Which of the big, you know, which of the favored teams pre-flop and current in these series is the most vulnerable? So I think the easy answer is Cleveland. But if I had to say who's the second most vulnerable,
sure. I think it's easy and it's OKC.
It's not the T-Wolves who haven't even taken the court yet against the Warriors.
Oh yeah, okay, sorry. If we're including them, I thought we were talking about the teams that have already lost. But yeah, that's I'll say, man, it's a great question. I'll say Timberwolves. But yeah, it's Thunder before it's Celtics for me.
Thunder before Celtics.
I mean, getting out,
which is a bit of a culture shock for you.
For me, I mean, yesterday when we were talking about this, I was going to give the Knicks a game or two. Celtics, like we saw last night, that's not that huge of a shock to me. That the Celtics messed around and took too many threes and got dumb. We've seen it before.
We've seen it before.
And we've seen over the course of a 7-game series, guess what? Their way still works. So I think that's what's going to happen. But when the Thunder bring in Isaiah Hartenstein and try to redesign this whole front court to specifically handle problems like Nikola Jokic, and he goes for 40 and 20 on you and you get out-rebounded by 20, that's a concern. That is a concern for going forward.
I love that Hartenstein shot where he doesn't actually shoot the ball. The ball just kind of goes up with him as he jumps.
Yeah. I think another one to watch out with that is Chet, I think, could be in foul trouble this whole series. I think I'll be looking at Chet unders.
Drama, man. It only continues. The soap opera that is the NBA playoffs. Money Moves, top of the hour. Stormy Bonnetoni and the equally lovely JVT. Coming up, enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.